But then in 1970, you pursue the governorship again.
Oh, yes. This time I was ready.
But this is against the incumbent Dewey Bartlett.
Yes.
Was he held in high esteem in the state?
I thought he was. And all of my advisors said, why pick a popular or somewhat popular incumbent governor? And my thought was that certain things weren't being done to help certain groups of people that might be exploited to the advantage of a challenger. The other thing was that the Metropolitan papers took it for granted 2 years out that Dewey Bartlett would be reelected and really gave small shift to anyone that was challenging. The result was that some of the toughest competition that I could have had in the primary never filed because they felt it was going to be too difficult. And although there were good men running against me, they weren't of the caliber that could have run against me and made it very difficult for me. Something that helped that I didn't like at the time, I had a heavy race in the primary, had a primary runoff before we ever got to the general. But it gave me the chance to expose my issues and to get people to know me on a very, very big basis as far as getting publicity. So by the time I got to the general race with Bartlett, I was quite well known in the state.
Was it easy to raise money?
No. Very difficult. I'm a middle-class person. I had no family to back me up. We had to raise as many dollars as we could from as many people. In that race, we received 7,500 separate donations from people that made up our campaign chest. Hmm. And I don't know what the largest one was, but my guess is there was nothing over $3,500, I don't think.
What was your main issue or issues as you ran for governor?
Number one was a lack of focusing on education and helping get the state in its proper educational picture. Teachers were underpaid, no kindergarten, no vo-tech schools. We ranked 46th in higher education funding, and I think we ranked 47th in elementary school funding. I was determined that I was going to change that because my own personal life had been changed so much by education that I could see that that was the best way to bring us out of this stage of not being recognized into a competitive situation, which would help not only in the long-term lives of the people, but it would bring new industry into the state.
Your mother had taught you to read when you were 4 years old.
I could read 2 years before I ever entered school. She had me reading, I probably had just turned four. She taught me with flashcards. She'd have an A and a B and a C.
The governor, Dewey Bartlett, had his own oil well that was apparently doing something that you found out about. Tell us about that.
Well, we were fortunate. A team of my young men, headed by a wonderful helper from Shawnee named J.T. Weedman, had gone out and found a well that was leaking from the pool where they put the sludge into a free-flowing, beautiful stream. Now, we didn't take any pictures of it. Instead, we hired an independent newsman out of Oklahoma City who was not necessarily a friend or even a supporter. We flew him to the site, had him shoot the pictures, give an affidavit to the effect. And then we created a TV commercial showing a proper well and the Bartlett well, and we saved it till the last 5 days of the campaign. When we exposed that well, and to Dewey's credit, I don't think he ever knew about there being such a well. I think he was completely oblivious to it. And he thought it was a dirty trick, but it wasn't a dirty trick. We had found it, and it was a legitimate source because it was an environmental issue, and environment was a big matter across the country at that time. So we exposed that, and that may have made the difference, but I don't think so. I think the difference was that the last week to 10 days, Governor Bartlett withdrew all of his advertising in the rural newspapers because he thought he had the race won. He was 7 to 10 points ahead. And the difference, the approximately 2,100 votes, came mostly from the rural areas. Had he left that in, my guess is that he would have won.
So the returns start coming in.
Yeah. We were behind. I had four key coordinators. Each one of them had one quarter of the state. They all flew to Oklahoma City to be with me to watch the returns. Every one of them that got off the plane said, David, it looks bad. It really looks bad. All four of them. I looked them in the eye and said, we're going to win this campaign, and I don't want to hear any of that talk. You come on over to the hotel and just see what happens. Well, it was 9:30 before the trend reversed, and that was so dramatic. Oh, gosh, I had never had anything that thrilled me as much in my life. Between 9:30 and 10:30, we gained the lead, and we never lost it. Now, the next day, here we go. You know, Democrats are always accusing Republicans of jimmying the polls and working the election. Well, the Republicans now are accusing us of having not done the right thing for the election. And Governor Bartlet decided to call out the National Guard to guard the ballot boxes.
Because the vote difference was so close.
Oh, it was 2,100 votes.
He called for a recount.
He called for a recount. And remember, under the rules of the recount, if he paid for the recount and the counting began and he ever got ahead, he could stop right there and that's the end of the race. Unless I had posted an equal amount for the recount so that it would go to the end. So we had to immediately raise $19,000 to post our side of it to keep him from being declared the winner if he ever got ahead. And it was nip and tuck until the last 11 counties.
Did you have your people volunteer? I mean, how did you get everybody out in the 77 counties?
Well, the problem is, if you didn't have volunteers, you couldn't afford to hire the poll watchers or the lawyers to be there. So we got 200 volunteer lawyers, as many as three in some of the counties, to go and be poll watchers and make sure the count was accurate. Those men are all listed in a book that I wrote, by name, by county, where they saved the election for me.
So how long did this process go on? How many days?
21 days, I believe. And it was nerve-wracking. Bartlet would be ahead, and then I'd be ahead. And Bartlet would be ahead, and I'd be ahead. And it all boiled down to the last 11 counties. The very last county that came in was Nowata County.
And so they were the rural counties.
They were the rural counties, right. And it was obvious the last four or five counties that we had it won, but it was very, very nip and tuck.
After you were officially elected, did you notice the landscape change with supporters, those who didn't support?
We had never had a road contractor. We had never had a major oil person. We had never had any of the traditional big money people help anyway in financing our campaign. But the road contractors of the state got together a fund of $400,000 or so and approached my finance chairman between the November election and December, offering to donate this money to help us pay off any campaign debts. And I refused it, turned it down flat, which stunned Ernie Honegger, who had done the work on it. But I wasn't going to. Those people had never supported me, and I did not want in any way to be beholden to them. I didn't want to be unfair to them, but I just did not want to be beholden to them. That was a real first, I think, in the history of the state.
You believe that maybe plans were underway already to undermine your administration?
I don't think so at that time. I think that the first indication to undermine it came in April of 1971 when former Governor Bartlet went to see John Mitchell. And I don't think that Governor Bartlet went there with the intent of creating a conspiracy. I think he went there with the intent of telling Mitchell that he should investigate me to make sure that I was not doing something that I shouldn't be doing. But I also think the big motivation was his political revenge for me having beat him in that race. That was absolutely, I think, the worst time of his life as far as his career.
He was very bitter.
Oh, bitter. Still bitter. I mean, before he died, he was still bitter.
So that meeting took place in Washington. Dewey Bartlet, Attorney General John Mitchell, and Deputy Attorney General Richard Kleindienst.
That's right. And from that meeting, Mitchell called Robert Mardian. And it was within 2 weeks after he called Mardian that all the IRS investigations began.
Now, the newspapers were printing negative stories about you.
Especially the Daily Oklahoman, yes.
As you look back on that, and E.K. Gaylord is the publisher, do you think that a visit with him might have worked?
I think after I won the race, if I had taken a peace pipe down to 4th and Broadway, that we might have reconciled our differences. But I didn't do that, and I should have done that. At least I should have called him. But I had been vilified so long for a whole year, I mean, just unbelievably in that campaign, that I wasn't disposed to do that. And I would live to regret it for the next 4 years.
Why do you think they were so vitriolic?
Oh, it wasn't me. I don't think it was against me. I think it was just against anyone that beat their man. Yeah. No, I never thought that Gaylord until later, after a couple of years, had anything personal against me.
Didn't they hit on your tax relief bill?
Oh, the tax relief bill gave relief to 95% of the people and raised the taxes of 5%. I'll give you an example of that. The Tulsa World had been supporters of mine as county attorney every time I ran. After that tax bill passed, Byron Boone, who was then managing for the Lortons in Tulsa, invited me to lunch one day in Tulsa, and the purpose was to tell me that they had been good supporters of mine, but he personally was not ever going to support me again because I cost him $6,000 in taxes with that raise. Now, I don't know what he made, but it was an enormous amount of money, and the $6,000 to him was not that much, but he was just absolutely very unhappy about it, and I'm sure there are a lot of others in that 5% group that felt the same way. On the other side of the scale, the 95% that got relief didn't recognize it because the state tax people, instead of leaving the monthly amount taken out so that it could be seen at the end of the year, they upped the monthly take so there would be no additional taxes at the end of the year. Invariably, every wage earner thought that his taxes had been raised.